Hello and happy Monday. Happy Halloween. It is Halloween. It's Monday. It's a little bit unusual for us, but we thought just in the spirit of this awesome holiday, we would put out a little bit of bonus content. First of all, hope everyone's having a great Halloween. I hope you're dressed up, you got your candy ready, or you're going out grabbing candy. If you checked out our live stream on Friday, you know Charlie was a Postmates delivery person. Some people thought he looked like pizza because he was dressed in that blanket, but it was chilly at first, and I was a cow. That said, we want to celebrate this Halloween by giving a little sampling of some of the bonus content that we put out on our Patreon. The first segment that we're going to drop is one round from a game we like to play called Do You Believe the Bizarre, where our producer Ben has three stories, two of which are real, and by real we mean at least found on the internet, and one was made up by Ben's cranium, his imagination, his brain, and we being me and Charlie, have to guess which ones are real and which one is fake. The second segment we're going to drop is called Bizarre News, where we talk about bizarre, strange, paranormal, just straight up strange things happening, but not quite stories or urban legends like we do normally on the podcast, but news articles from journals and news TV stations and all that kind of stuff. And finally, our third segment we're going to drop today is called Social Media Response. I don't know if any of y'all are following us on social media, but every single Monday, producer Ben puts out a question and y'all respond to it. And then on this Patreon segment, Charlie, Ben, and myself discuss your comments and then also answer these questions ourselves. So if you like what you're hearing, you like this bonus content, this little sampling, you can always get all of this content every single month by going to patreon.com, Believing the Bizarre, subscribe, multiple tiers, multiple different versions of bonus content. We love doing it, and honestly, we're excited to share these little samplings with all of you. But also, I just want to say, keep your eyes peeled tomorrow. In addition to dropping our live episode from Friday, we also are lucky enough to be promoting this awesome podcast that is an Amazon Music exclusive. It's called I Hear Fear. It's a horror anthology, so you're going to get a little sample of that. They asked us to promote it on the podcast. Super excited. We're excited to check it out, so we're definitely going to be listening. So keep your eyes peeled for that tomorrow, too. But with that said, let's get into the bonus Halloween Patreon content.
Do you want to hear my ghost story?
Yeah.
So anyway, so this was...
What year? 50s?
No.
30s?
My 50s? 1850s?
Yeah.
Me and Donald Sutherland in that, what was it? The Exorcism of...
Emily Rose?
Was it Emily Rose?
I don't know.
It was the old one. It was like in the 1800s. Rose. Was that Emily Rose?
That took place.
I don't remember.
I don't know. I just know that...
I thought Emily Rose was like a...
Probably the 50s.
This was like 3 or 4 weeks ago. So it was a Friday night. We'd gone to the Hoover football game. Me and Charlie, my middle daughter. Hey.
Oh.
Yeah, my middle daughter.
Thanks for the invite, guys, since y'all both went.
And then after we left the game, we met my wife and the rest and the other kids at TD's tailgate. Mm. And we ate dinner. And it was like late. We didn't eat till like 9. We didn't get home till like 10.
Okay.
We got home. Kids like just...
Good night.
Yeah. Well, no, like we have a giant mega bed.
Awesome.
So it's two queen beds pushed together. So we can lay down, watch TV with the kids and then send them to their room. So anyway, that night, laying in bed, all the kids fall asleep like within 3 minutes. They're out. I'm like, all right. So I'm like, you know, chilling, watching, you know, some college football game. Go to sleep. It's around 2:30 in the morning. I wake up and got to pee because I'm in my 40s, and apparently that's what happens when you're in the 40s. You got
to
pee.
The bladder's like, hey, time. Let's go.
Yeah, time to go, Gramps. I shouldn't have had that Diet Coke. So I get up, getting out of my room. And so the way our room is set up is like the side of my bed is right next to the door. So I get up and I open the door, and the door makes an audible creak. So it's like, and it always does it. Like, unless you open it 6 inches, which I'm too fat, can't fit through that, it's going to make that creak.
You ever oil it up?
No, it doesn't. I don't know if it would help.
You should try it.
Maybe. So right outside the door is like a loose floorboard, mm-hmm. and it makes a dunk sound. And it's like, so, and you can't, unless you're really aware of it and not in the middle of the night and you step over it, you step on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear, dunk. So it's our bedroom, Monroe's bedroom, and then the bathroom's on the other side of the steps. So I open the door, dunk, go to the bathroom. And I'm in the bathroom, peeing and standing.
Hey, I will say that when I pee the most often sitting down, it's when I'm disoriented and just woke up.
Yeah.
No, so there'd be no shame if you were.
There's nothing wrong with it. So I'm in there peeing, and I hear with my bedroom door open because I closed it enough so the light wouldn't get in. And I hear the bedroom door go, hey. And I hear, da-dunk. I'm like, oh, Mel must be up. She's coming to the bathroom, too. Or she heard me get up, and she wants to get freaky. Ah, just kidding. It's a dream. Never happens.
Chubb just had a 40-yard run. Amari Cooper, Cooper Pooper, touchdown Browns.
So I'm waiting. Like, I'm peeing still, but I'm waiting, expecting Mel to come around the corner. So I'm waiting. She doesn't come in. So I walk out, and from my bathroom door, I can see my bedroom. Door is wide open, and there's no one in the hallway. And I'm like, oh. Now, the kids are all sleeping in my bed, so it's entirely possible a kid got up and went back in bed. But I was like, dude, like, someone's up. So I walked into Monroe's room. No one's there. Go in his closet. Scared as shit. Expecting the figure in there. No one's there. Go to my girl's room. Look in their closet. Both their closets. Got two closets. No one's there. Look in their bed. Look, because they have bunk beds. Move, like, no one's in there. Go stand at the top of the steps, see if anyone's like downstairs, see if I see any movement. No one's there. I go back to bed. Lorelai was sleeping next to me. She's in the exact same position. Ro and Charlie are sandwiched next to Mel. No one moved. No one had gotten up.
And if somebody would have got up, checked on you, or checked the door, saw you were in there, went back, you would have heard a second da-dunk. Yeah,
there was nothing.
But I'm not surprised. We've already established you live in a f***ing haunted house.
But there's a follow-up.
Oh, my God.
3 nights later. Sleeping in my bed, my mega bed. I'm in my bed. Mel is in her bed. And Ro is with Mel. I'm sitting there and I'm sleeping and I could not fall asleep because one of my asshole kids came in right as I was about to fall asleep. I was like, where's my water bottle? I don't know where my water bottle's at. And they're like, all right, see you later. And I was up.
Can't wait to have kids.
Oh, dude. I love my children to death, but they're the biggest dicks ever sometimes. But I've been having a hard time sleeping like the last week. And this, like, I just was up. And so I'm like, I'm fighting. So it's like 11:30, can't fall asleep. 12:15, can't fall asleep. Finally, like around 1, I'm starting to fall asleep. And then as I'm laying there, I hear, like, well, that was a good sound.
Yeah.
Felt like someone kicked my bed.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, so I'm thinking, okay, one of the kids. Because earlier in the night, I also, like, left this out. Was this the night before? Either earlier that night or the night before. Lorelai was trying to sneak in and sleep on the floor. And I had, like, get your ass back in the room. I said, we'll step on you. You can't do this.
Yeah.
She went back to her room. So I thought, she's crawling in, trying to sleep on the floor again. And I sit up, going to go full dad on her. I'm like, dude. So I look over, and, like, Ro's not touching my bed. It's entirely possible that he kicked his foot on the other bed and did it so hard that it made hit my bed.
Asleep, though?
But
and he didn't say anything?
He wakes up and says stuff, but he didn't say anything, and it would have woken Mel up. I was just like,
you got ghosts, man.
Yeah.
You got ghosts.
I was just like, dang, dude.
Oh, man.
But I told him on a walk, I'm like, I got to tell Charlie.
Is that new? This is a new development?
Mm-hmm. It'll be in this month's newsletter.
Jesus. Y'all get the news first.
Yeah.
Wow.
Priority news.
That's terrible.
We'll have to play the breaking news.
Da-na-na, da-na-na.
Brown score. That is Do You Believe the Bizarre? All right, are you guys ready for round two? Step by step. I was getting ready for work one morning when I heard the familiar floor creak of her making her way to the bathroom. And I slowed down so I could see her before I left for the day. I was finishing up putting my lunch together when I heard the floor creak again. But this time it came from the opposite side of the house where our bedroom was. The familiar sound of water running meant my wife was finishing brushing her teeth. And then I heard our bedroom door creak open and heavier footsteps heading to the bathroom. I sprinted upstairs to stop whomever was in our house from getting to my wife. I reached the top of the stairs just as my wife came out of the bathroom. I turned the corner and went down the hallway to our bedroom, but it was completely empty. No one was there. Our door was still shut. My wife asked me what the hell I was doing. I told her what I heard and about the footsteps. She laughed and assured me it was my imagination and that no one was in the house. I know what I heard, and I can't explain what caused those footsteps.
Sounds familiar. I think I know what inspired that story, Ben.
It sounds real familiar.
Maybe.
Wait, hold on. Is there any chance that the floor went da-dunk?
No, it was like a donk.
Okay. I didn't know, man. I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah, so, hold on. I can't.
Hold on, I gotta change the story.
All right, great rewind. No, I can't get this goddamn highlight off.
Oh, I don't know.
Derek.
Did you accidentally put your kid's name in it and you had to edit it?
So Charlie was. I mean, no, it was Lorelai. No.
Faux right. Show, not Monroe.
Story two. Alone, maybe. Whenever I was scared as a kid, my dad always told me that in life you should not be scared of ghosts. Fear the living because they can actually hurt you. In my late teenage years, I came into some money after my father committed suicide, and I received an inheritance from him at the time of my dad's passing. He and my mom owned a cabin up in Oregon by Mount Bachelor. The cabin had been put up for sale since my mom could no longer afford the payments, and renting it out was not covering the payments either. Cabin was set to go on the market for sale in less than a month and was in the process of finalizing all the paperwork with a realtor and lawyer. So for that month's time, the cabin was not going to be rented out and it was going to be vacant. I saw this as a chance to get away for a while and clear my head in light of all the things going on. I quit work, packed up my snowboarding gear, grabbed my dog, and headed up in my dad's car to the cabin. My first 2 days at the cabin were normal. I spent my days playing with the dog in the snow, snowboarding, and in the evenings playing PlayStation or listening to music, drinking, and smoking out on the balcony. I had already stocked up on food, cigarettes, and liquor, so it's pretty much a shut-in aside from the occasional out to hit the slopes. With my dog as company and DVDs and PlayStation as entertainment, I was quite content and started to feel relaxed after all the drama that had preceded my outing. The cabin itself was two stories. The bottom story had a living room and a side guest bedroom along with a small kitchen. Upstairs had another two rooms along with a walkout balcony attached to the master bedroom. Most of my time there was spent either in the living room, kitchen, or master bedroom. I never ventured into the other rooms and always kept the doors leading into them shut. On the third day, I was going through my usual routine of playing with my dog midnight, playing games, and watching DVDs. That day, it was a pretty heavy snowfall, so I did not feel like trekking down the hill to the main road in my car and decided to stay in. That's when things started getting a bit weird. In our area, there were only two other cabins adjacent to ours. All other cabins, aside from these two, were around a mile away from ours. Surrounding us was mostly forest and very tall pine trees. Both these cabins were empty, and from the past couple of days, I knew no one was currently staying there. Around midday, while outside with my dog, I noticed what looked like footprints in the snow around the area surrounding our cabin. It was still snowing, so the footprints looked semi-fresh, like someone had been there in the last 20 to 30 minutes before me. I thought that maybe someone was staying in the cabin near me, and that I may not have noticed. Maybe they were shut-ins like me, but whatever. The prints led away from the cabin, and they disappeared in the snow towards the denser part of the trees. Nighttime came around, and I decided to head to bed. My dog was lying on the bed with me when I noticed his ears perk up to a standstill listening position. This was followed by him quickly jumping off the bed and running downstairs to the living room. I laid in bed and stayed silent. I was kind of freaked out and could hear him moving around downstairs back and forth. After around 5 minutes, he ran back upstairs to me and started to do his doggy dance as a sign that he had to pee or that he wanted to go outside. Shit. Well, fine. I can't say no to him, so we both went downstairs to the outside driveway for him to do his thing. Only, he didn't want to pee. As soon as we were outside, he started to pull on his leash, trying to drag me to where he wanted to go. He kept looking into the dense part of the trees where the prints had been earlier, but he also kept sniffing the side of the house and looking up towards the roof. After he figured out that I was not going to go where he wanted, he sat himself down and just stared in the darkness. A bit unusual for him, but alright, maybe there are forest animals out there that he wants to chase down. But I didn't want to chase anything. So I pulled him back inside, and we both headed upstairs. Around a half hour later, I was lying in bed, when I heard what sounded like hooves walking on my roof. It was only a series of around 6 steps, and I rationalized that it could be a pine cone falling from a tree onto the roof, or maybe a kind-hearted forest animal running around. But here's the thing. The steps seemed to be spaced apart like a man's length stride, so it was really freaking me out. Midnight also heard the noise and was quick to run to the balcony screen door, expecting me to let him out. At the time, I considered myself to be a fairly well-built and strong enough to handle myself. So I grabbed my coat and shoes, along with my cigarettes and flashlight, and went out onto the balcony. As soon as I was outside, I lit up my cigarette and started canvassing the roof with my flashlight. Nothing there, and the snow on top was undisturbed. Weird, must have been all in my head. What about the dog hearing the noise? Maybe he was feeding off my fear or paranoia. I started to calm down and relax again. My eyes started to adjust to the darkness, and I kept smoking and just staring at the stars and the trees next to our cabin. That's when I saw it. In a tree that was a little taller than our cabin and around 20 feet from the balcony, I saw what looked like a man crouched in a squatting position in between two branches. It was squatted on one branch, and its arms were extended above its head, holding onto the branch above it. I wasn't sure if I was really seeing this thing and just stood, staring, and sat there motionless. I noticed Midnight stand up and start pacing behind me and lightly barking at the same time. The thing did not move. I put my cigarette out and was debating on shining a light in the direction of the thing, but something in my head kept screaming me not to. So I walked backwards until I got inside of the room and pulled Midnight with me. Once inside, I locked the door and shined the light in the thing's direction, but there was nothing there. I shut the curtains to the screen door and retreated back to bed. But later on in the night, I heard a light tapping at the screen door like someone was tapping on the glass with their fingers. It was consistent and did not stop for nearly an hour. Midnight seemed to stare at the door, but he wouldn't go near it anymore. The weirdest part was that I had a feeling like someone was inviting me to open the door, but at the same time, I kept hearing my dad's voice in my head telling me to stay in bed and not do it. I listened to my dad's voice and just stayed where I was, passed out, eventually, and woke up in the morning, and everything was normal. The rest of the week I spent there was not eventful, and nothing else out of the ordinary happened.
Stay there for the rest of the week? That's crazy.
That's a good story. That's creepy.
Yeah.
Man, you could see it, you could feel it.
Wow, that's a good story.
Snow globes. Story number 3, you ready?
Let's do it.
My mom always bought snow globes for my grandma. When my grandma passed away, my mom took them back to our house. My mom put them all up on the shelves that go around the entire living room. A few weeks passed, and my mom found a video that she wanted my brothers and me to watch because it reminded her of grandma. We all sat down to watch it, and of course, near the end of our movie, Mom was crying. Right when the movie ends, all of the snow globes went off at the same time. The figurines didn't move on any of them, just the music. We all huddled together, of course, because we were scared. And my mom suddenly said, "Mom?" And all of the music stopped, and the room became extremely cold. My mom suddenly felt really uncomfortable and had all of us run and get into the car, and she drove us to our godmother's house. She cried for hours until she got a call from her dad saying he'd be home in a few minutes and we should head back. When we all got back inside, it was warm again, but all the snow globes were shattered on the ground except for one. The one that was my grandma's favorite.
That is like, you thought it was going to be heartfelt.
Or sweet or something.
And it just
That's
got
a demon.
Scary.
Jesus.
Tyler gets to go first.
Yeah,
wow.
You got a heart. I think... I'm going to let you fall. I'm going to give you enough rope. Let you hang yourself.
Step by step, alone, maybe, and snow.
I enjoyed every single one of these.
Me too.
The second one was very long, but very good, and it had that creepy cryptid factor. First one, Ben wrote because it was his house. And then the third one completely threw me off. Completely threw me off. I thought it was going to be heartfelt, but it was creepy. It was short, punchy. But very obviously, Ben wrote the phrase. Or he's majorly throwing us off.
I think I'm going to let you do it. You do.
I mean, there's a very good chance he purposefully told us that story to make us think that the first one was too much like it.
No way. He's that crafty.
I'm going with number one, step by step.
All right.
Step by step.
Yep. If you weren't going to fall for the trap, I was going to do it. Love the third story. Second is my favorite one. I'm going to go with the second one.
Second one was very good.
So you go believable burger. And you go
yes.
Believable cobra.
Cobra.
Tyler's right. I f***ed up and forgot that that story
was. Oh, man.
That's it was hilarious. So,
we were laughing and just like, we saw each other's faces.
Like, oh, like,
we knew it. I was like, creaky like, floorboards.
Should have waited until at the end.
That's no, that's okay. No, actually, it would have been a really good follow-up to that.
It would That was actually hysterical, though.
But I wrote this like in the middle of August.
So yeah.
I forgot the order of the...
Yeah.
It's my fault.
You're like... Monroe got out of bed.
And Mel, I mean, Melissa.
Lady number one. Who's very attractive.
And oh, that sucks. Tyler won again. Bullshit.
The final round. Charlie, you it's have the opportunity to break up
what?
The sweep. The oh, queen sweep. Yeah.
The queen sweep?
The clean sweep. The spooky round three.
Not my bedroom. My parents were very strict about us children getting out of bed at night. Even if we just get up to go to the bathroom, they'd get extremely angry. So naturally, I'd be as quiet as humanly possible if I ever had to go at night. This included not turning on any lights in the room I shared with my little brother or anywhere else in the flat. So I had memorized the way to the bathroom by literally counting my steps so I could get there and do my thing in complete darkness. One night, I climbed out of our bunk bed, turned right, walked 3 steps, and grabbed the door handle. Except, there was no door handle. There was only thin air. I thought I might have miscounted my steps, so I took another one. Nothing. And another one. And bumped straight into a table. This was highly confusing, because that table was supposed to be on the wall opposite our bed. But I figured our parents must have moved it in front of the door to stop us from leaving our room at night. I really had to go through it, so I tried to climb over the table, only to bump into the wall behind it. I started to panic because clearly the door had always been at the exact spot, had just vanished. I frantically searched the wall with my hands, threw a bunch of toys on the floor in the process, and finally started crying, waking everybody up. When my parents came and turned on the light, I was horrified to find that the entire layout of the room had changed. The bed was in the wrong spot, so were the table and bookshelf, and the door was slightly right to where the table was supposed to be. Even the hallway outside was all wrong. I was certain there should be a wall to my right when I leave the room, but instead, you had to turn right to reach the living room, while to the left, there was only the door to my older brother's room. It took hours to calm me down, and I still couldn't quite believe that our room didn't look completely different from the day before. There was even a situation a couple years back where I was describing my childhood room to a family friend, and my dad, who was within earshot, was very confused because the room I was describing never existed. It took me a minute to realize that I've been talking about that wrong version of my room. It's a very weird memory, and I try not to think about it too much.
That is really creepy, and this is the type of like paranormal story. I mean, there's many paranormal versions, the cryptids, the hauntings, but this stuff gets me. Mm-hmm. That stuff, like altered memory, like you remember somebody, but nobody else remembers them. Or like multiverse, like
yeah, it's very multiverse.
Freaks me out because it just makes you start questioning your own sanity.
Mm-hmm. This is like the Matrix,
yeah,
Glitch in the Matrix.
Creepy, dude. Creepy stuff.
Just like the Bros.
It's the spooky season.
Did he get his? He got his foot in. We're at the 20-yard line.
Mr. Rogers, we lived in a pretty big apartment building growing up. It was just me and my parents, and we got along with most of our neighbors, except for the older guy who lived upstairs. He lived alone and always looked angry. What really creeped me out about him is that he would take walks at night in the field next to our building. My bedroom window overlooked this field, so I would watch him walk every night. He'd shuffle up and down and occasionally stop, squat down, and dig in the field like he was trying to pick up a penny or a rock. This went on for about a year. Every night, he'd walk up and down. Then one night, he wasn't there. Felt a sense of relief knowing that this creepy dude wasn't outside my bedroom window. But that one night turned into several nights, and then weeks without Death himself walking in the moonlight. And with his absence came a smell from upstairs. Eventually, the neighbors feared the worst that he died, and they called the landlord who got the cops involved. For several days, there were cops and even a reporter camped outside of our apartment building. I asked my mom what was going on, But she mom explained to me that nothing was wrong and these people were just making sure everything was okay. About 2 months later, we moved across town to a duplex. I was thankful as that apartment always felt heavy and scary. I never found out what happened to the creep that lived above us. My parents always found a way to change the conversation when I asked about him.
Mm-hmm. It's the end?
Don't like that one.
Oh, there's no resolution to that at all.
It's just spooky.
Dang. I think that first one was British.
British?
Yeah. First and goal.
She said flat.
You're flat.
What's the third story, Ben?
When you gots to go, you gots
Wait,
to
hold
go.
On. Come on. We're at the goal line. We can pause it. Sorry, I know you don't care, Charlie.
I don't care. I'm ready.
Story number three. When you gots to go...
You gots to go.
Oh, my God.
Didn't you feel that in your soul?
Yeah. I felt it in my ears.
Must be Charlie's bedtime.
What time is it? I'm a little sleepy.
11:30.
I'm a little sleepy.
I get that. I worked part-time as a custodian on my university campus for a while. There were many times that I would be alone in the building early in the morning before any staff or students came in. It was usually a pretty relaxing and chill time just to be on my own for, like, that little bit. There is one time something weird happened, though, and I still can't come up with a rational explanation for it. So one morning, I was working at a building that was owned by the university, but it was off of the main campus by about a mile. It used to be an old middle school before the university bought it. It's now used for various science labs and staff offices. I was doing my normal morning routine, and I was going through the cleaning of all the restrooms in the building first thing at 6 a.m. Now keep in mind, I'm supposed to be the only person in this building until 7:30 a.m. when people start coming in. I came in, I unlocked and relocked the door behind me, so no one else should have been in this building. I get to the women's restroom on the far side of the building. I don't bother to knock on the door, as I should be the only person in the building. As I open the door, I see a woman standing with her back against the wall. Now, this particular bathroom is shaped like a T. The stalls are in the long part of the T, so when you open the door, you can only see the sink and the stalls are out of view behind the corner. So I only saw half of this woman as half of her body was behind this corner of the wall that she was leaning on. I just said sorry and explained that I should be the only person in the building right now, so I didn't bother to knock on the door. This woman then proceeds to dash around the corner and I hear her shut herself in the stall farthest from the entrance. I yelled in saying I was sorry if I scared her and again explained that I should have been the only person in the building. I then hear her start pounding on the door of the stall. Now I'm scared. So I close the door and I block it with my cleaning cart. I call my supervisor and explain there is some woman in the building who has just locked herself in the stall. I thought that maybe she was some drug addict that somehow snuck in the building at night. So 10 minutes later, a couple of campus security guys show up. I open the door to the restroom, and the two of them go in with me behind. We all clearly heard and saw this woman pacing back and forth in the stall. The security guys try to talk to her for a bit to get her to come out. They got absolutely no response. They then say they are coming in and open the door. All three of us were utterly speechless when the door to the stalls opened, and no one was there. Later, they checked the building security footage for the previous night and did not see anyone enter the building. I don't believe in anything supernatural, but I still not can explain this. I worked the same building before and after this incident probably 30 plus times and never experienced anything weird like this again.
And I think I'm skeptical.
What do ghosts have to do?
We're visual creatures, man. That was scary. That was a good story.
Yeah.
I was, you know, like I'm always listening. And I'm always intrigued, but every now and then, like three times during one of these, you know, three out of the nine, I get sucked in.
Yeah.
I got sucked in. Actually, I got sucked in twice this round.
I think I'm getting better at reading, too.
Good, man.
I'm glad.
I don't mess up quite as much, but I'm able to get a pace and get...
No, yeah, mm-hmm. you're pulling us in. Plus, you told your own story on here twice, so you had that warm-up of like, ba-boom, and then the douche. Oh, Charlie, there are some good stories to pick in here.
So we have Not My Bedroom, Mr. Rogers, and When You Gots to Go,
There are two that I'm stuck between, and I hope you pick one, and I'm just going to immediately pick the other.
Mm. You're working at school. That one hit me a little bit different.
That would be.
Yeah.
Have you ever had something like that happen? Well, other than, I know at like Akron you had the stage doors, but.
I'm going to go with the last one. I don't really have rhyme or reason. They're all really good.
Last story was a very, very good one. I'm going to go with the first story because I loved it. It freaked me out in the moment. The Not My Room. Terrifying, creepy situation.
I don't think that one's it because I think that one's British because she said flat. Although, I guess Ben's written stories from other places as well.
No, that's a good detail, Charlie. Good
but,
job.
But also, really quick, imagine that happening. I thought what was going to happen, they were going to open the door, no one's going to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the police weren't going to have any kind of confirmation. I thought the thing was going to be gone. But I didn't expect the police to also experience something.
The pacing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the police would think the person was crazy.
Yeah.
What if it would just end it with, like, and there's a person in there? Like, all right.
Well, cool. Then they're arrested.
Yeah.
Ben, right, so,
Charlie, did you pick Ben, Tyler?
Yeah, I picked the first one.
Oh, you
so
did.
So you went believable cobra, Tyler.
Cobra.
And you went
rattlesnake.
Believable rattlesnake. You're both wrong.
It was the second one.
Mr. Rogers.
Oh, that was a good, this was a good round. That was a really good round.
Yeah.
All right, it is bizarre news time. Charlie, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
There's no producer Ben this time. We did a he's dead. No, we did a massive recording day. If you joined like our Google Hangout or anything like that, you know. Last Tuesday
Well, it's because Tyler was out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did social media response, Do You Believe the Bizarre, our Tuesday Twitch live stream, and our Google Hangout all on Tuesday.
Yeah, and you've probably seen already, we have our movie that is going to be tomorrow, so this isn't going to be out.
It'll be in the past. So I hope we all enjoyed watching The Babysitter.
I've never seen it.
But you have at this point.
When this comes out, I will have known it.
Yes.
Yes.
That said, this is bizarre news. What is bizarre news? We are not talking about stories. We are talking about news articles that come from the land of the unknown and bizarre.
Narnia.
The band name. God, I will never remember what
Nirvana?
This was. No.
Okay.
It was that thing I said, the unknown.
And then the unknown replica.
Yeah. It comes from the world of the unknown replica.
Feels like a land where D&D, like, there's levels in D&D. You're like a D&D realm.
Yes. That is what this is.
I love what I say. I know you have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I've played D&D.
Yes, you have. Do you know there's different realms you can go to?
Sure. There was that bear thing. Sure. Did you know that there are absolutely bizarre spirals of blue light spotted in the sky above New Zealand?
What?
Coming from June 20th, 2022... from the UK, quote, the appearance of an extraordinary spiral of blue light in the sky above New Zealand has prompted amazement among stargazers and theories ranging from aliens to black holes.
Black holes?
Astronomer last name Burns runs a stargazing business, Twinkle Dark Sky Tours, which actually sounds amazing. And he spotted the spectacle. Actually, I shouldn't assume it's a he. They spotted the spectacle from the country's Stewart Island. Quote, it was absolutely bizarre. It was like a massive spiral, and it very, very slowly, serenely moving north across the sky, and then just sort of dissipated as it went. At first, it almost looked like a spiral galaxy just hanging there in the night sky. Jen Ross, also from Twinkle Dark Sky Tour, said, it was nothing like we've ever seen before. Just incredible. Standing there, looking up at it, I thought it was either aliens or a black hole that was opening up and we were all going to get sucked up into it. Shout out. I like how they're like, oh, some people think it's a black hole or aliens. And then we get the one quote from the one guy.
It's just them.
Kind of like, nope. But what actually causes spiral light? Professor Richard Ether from Auckland University explained the likely cause of the extraordinary light show. Quote, as far as we can tell, it's created by the sun, of course, catching the exhaust, quote, fumes from the second stage of SpaceX rocket that reignited about an hour after it had been placed in orbit at Cape Canaveral.
Canaveral.
It's amazing. I wish I'd seen it.
Wow.
So while Elon Musk, SpaceX has yet to confirm it was behind the phenomenon, the company's third rocket flight in 36 hours, the Falcon 9 rocket, is widely thought to be responsible.
Wow.
So here's a picture of it, I think. Unless, just, I would lose my shit if I saw this. I don't know if this is real
or if this
was like something from like Canva that they pulled for it. But
that's really incredible.
Another photo. No, it's kind of amazing. Like I would literally take a photo. I'd go on Instagram Live. I was jumping up and down on the beach when I saw the Milky Way, which is normal.
Yeah.
If I saw this thing, I probably would think it was something. I'd probably actually get freaked out.
Yeah, that's so weird. That's cool that it came from like a spaceship or our spaceship.
Potentially. It's just them flying Teslas.
That's really cool.
Are you ready for the next bizarre news story?
Yes, please give it to me.
Huffington Post.
Okay, you know it's going to be good then.
This is the headline. Man accused of killing friend. So the stakes are there. That's not the title. That's part of the title. You ready?
Yes.
There's a million different ways this could go. I'm going to keep stopping in this title because there's a million ways it can go.
Okay.
Man accused of killing friend claims it was to stop him from.
Okay.
Like there's a million things, right?
All yes.
Right. Man accused of killing friend claims it was to stop him from summoning.
Oh my.
Do you have a guess?
The devil.
Man accused of killing friend claims it was to stop him from summoning Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
He reportedly feared that Bigfoot was coming to eat him.
Yes, this story, yes.
Alright, I'm gonna read this for you here now. An Oklahoma noodler was arrested and reportedly confessing to killing his fishing partner, claiming he did so to stop Bigfoot from coming to eat him.
Noodling.
Larry Sanders, 53, had been noodling, a way of catching catfish via hand, with friend Jimmy Knighton, also 53, along the South Canadian River in Pontotoc, it's in Oklahoma County on Saturday. Larry claimed that while at the river, he discovered Jimmy intending to feed him to Sasquatch and or Bigfoot.
Mm.
Larry indicated Jimmy attempted to get away from him so that the Sasquatch would only eat Larry. The Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigations said that Sanders thought Knighton basically tricked him into being out there, and the two fought for an hour.
An hour?
Yeah.
An hour? What kind of stamina do these men have?
Sanders allegedly choked Knighton to death near the river, then went home and confessed to his daughter, who was dating Knighton's son.
Oh, man.
Like, your father-in-law is going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I killed him. He appeared to be under the influence of something, Sheriff told K-10.
No shit.
His statement was that Knighton had summoned Bigfoot to come and kill him. That's why he had to kill Mr. Knighton.
That's a lot of meth. It reminds me of that scene in Lord of the Rings where Sméagol kills his buddy for the ring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, in the caves.
No. In the by the river. In the beginning of the third one.
Oh, when they're still humans?
Yeah. Hobbits.
Or you're right, sorry. Hobbits. Still hobbits, yeah.
Yeah, he kills his friend for the ring.
Isildur! Yeah. Is that his name? The guy, you know what I'm talking about. Where he's like, I'm not going to do it. No.
I'm definitely not going to do it.
Bet you won't. Mr. Anderson.
That elf should have pushed him in.
Whoops. All right, moving on to our next story, also from HuffPost. Title, American Tourist Miraculously Survives Fall into Mount Vesuvius.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, from the story here, a 23-year-old tourist from Maryland survived a fall into Mount Vesuvius crater in Italy on Saturday.
It's not active, right?
I guess not.
Obviously not.
I didn't know Mount Vesuvius was in Italy.
Pompeii.
That makes sense when you say it like that.
just in the name of the city.
The incident occurred after Philip Carroll and two of his relatives wandered off trail, which you should not do, especially in Suicide Forest, for a chance to take better photos. It's all for the gram. You're going to risk your life for the gram.
Risk it for the gram, baby.
Try and get those 300, 400 likes from strangers that don't know you and
or care.
Don't care.
Exactly.
No. So the family took another trail close to tourists, even if there was a small gate and no access signs, said Capelli, who's the president of Vesuvio Base. On top of neglecting to follow guidelines and scale the volcano without proper safety precautions, Carol and his relatives didn't even pay for tickets. They snuck out there.
Wow.
Yeah, so they took a prohibited path after departing the nearby town And when they got to the top, Carol tried to take a selfie and dropped his phone into the crater, which is basically like dropping his life into the crater.
Yeah.
So he tried to recover it, but he slipped and he slid a few meters into the crater. He managed, thankfully, to stop his fall, but at the point he was stuck. He's very lucky because if he kept going, he would have plunged 300 meters into the crater.
Wow, I can only assume that's far.
It is. It's more than one football field. It's multiple football fields.
Sounds like he put volcano safety over his volcano life.
Yes.
I feel like if I put volcano in front of it, it would have more energy.
It was volcano hardcore.
Exactly.
No. Just a phone, man. He probably got that new iPhone 13.
Oh.
He's like, no.
I'd be sad. Although, what if he didn't have, like, a card? What if he didn't have, like, a credit card or anything? It was, like, all on his phone.
He was with relatives, though. He'd be fine.
What if his, I don't know.
His family pushed him in there. They actually tried to kill him.
Yeah.
Now,
he's from Maryland, right? What's the Maryland accent, Tyler?
I don't think there is one.
Yeah, there is. There definitely is.
I don't know what a Maryland accent is.
Wouldn't that be, like, Bostonian, almost?
Yeah, Maine would be maybe up there. I don't know about Maryland.
Isn't Boston Maryland? No.
Massachusetts?
No. Yes.
Listen, wrong state. If I have to hold down the geography fort around here, we are in trouble. Listen,
that whole New England area is really confusing for me.
It is. They just go, we're New England.
Yeah, exactly.
But they love their Tom Brady. Tommy Brady. Don't leave us for Tampa, Tommy. And
blue crabs.
I think I would go after my phone, but I wouldn't sneak into a place.
Like, I wouldn't do that.
If I dropped my phone and I thought I could retrieve it, even if it meant that I had to be very careful, I probably would do that because the entire way home, I'd be thinking, I probably could have got it. It's probably still sitting there. I probably could have got it. But I'm not the type of person that would have snuck into the area without paying and went off the trail and put myself in harm's way. Yeah. Wouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. But if the phone slips out of my pocket, you know, like if you're at a fast food place and it slips between the console and your seat, that's like a 20-minute endeavor, and you're going to lose the feeling in your fingers, but you got to do it.
Listen, you're in Okiahara Forest, right?
Yeah.
Your phone's in your hand.
Okay.
That's to send a text.
Nah, it's always in my hand.
What if?
Oh, no.
You feel force slap your hand, fly, and your phone flies into the forest.
The array just goes,
pachow. What do you do? Do you let it be? You don't go off the trail. What do you do?
How far is my phone flying?
It's slapped. It is slapped.
That's like, what, 6 feet?
Let's say 2 meters.
That's like 6 feet.
Let's say, you're right. Let's say like 12 meters.
Okay, so it's like, who slapped? That's not a slap, that's a throw.
It's a ghost.
That's picking up my phone and throwing it.
Out of your hand, yeah.
Do you have an iPhone?
Yeah.
Do you have a newer iPhone?
Yeah.
Is it remarkably sturdy? Not this phone, the 13. And I'm not saying this phone's not. I just haven't tested it, battle tested it. My old phone, the XR, I dropped that phone so many times.
It is pretty good.
And it would just smack glass down, and I didn't have a cover.
I know. You told me that. It's crazy.
On the edge.
I thought I'd crack this new phone because there was a big crack across it, but it was my cover, my case.
Yeah. See, I haven't even done that. It's remarkable how sturdy some of these phones are now. So I do believe I would search for it because I would assume that the phone would be okay.
I wouldn't let you go.
I would be more shocked that a slap sent my phone 25 meters.
I would hold you back onto the trail. I'm like, I can't lose you in here.
It's a Uray on steroids.
I can't explain it to Claire.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's you don't know how to come back from that, and you would get lost. Not that you want me leading us. All right, so are you ready for our final bizarre news story?
Yes, yes.
This is from CNN. Mysterious fast radio burst in space has a heartbeat pattern. This is kind of like a Ben story. When Ben brought all of his bizarre news stories to us, they're all like space radio, like nerd shit.
Yeah, this is super interesting. You know, they actually found, I don't want to ruin a future bizarre news, so I'm not going to say it.
Look at this picture real quick. I don't want to knock this photo up, but just like, that's just beautiful.
It's a very nice picture.
Man, stars, trees, that's just my aesthetic. I love it so much. So, CNN, a mysterious radio burst. A mysterious radio burst with a pattern similar to a heartbeat has been detected in space. Astronomers estimate that the signal came from a galaxy Far away. No, they didn't say that, but you felt
they knew.
Roughly, give or take, a billion light years away.
Jesus.
They just look at the sky and be like, eh.
Pretty far.
Kind of like the way you and I feel about like 6 meters. They're like, oh, a billion light years. Yeah. But the exact location, obviously, is unknown. A study detailing the findings published Wednesday in the journal Nature claimed, fast radio bursts, or FRBs, are intense, millisecond-long burst of radio waves with unknown origins. The first FRB was discovered in 2007, and since then, hundreds of these quick cosmic flashes have been detected coming from various distant points across the universe, probably Zeta Reticuli.
Could be.
Michili was monitoring the data as it came in from Chime when the burst occurred. The signal is the longest lasting fast radio burst to date. And he's quoted as saying, it was unusual. Not only was it very long, lasting about 3 seconds, but there were periodic peaks that were remarkably precise, emitting every fraction of a second, boom, 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 like a heartbeat. This is the first time the signal itself was periodic. And so basically it's an unknown source, came from a billion light years away. It's probably really, really old.
Could it be random?
Oh, yeah. I think anything could be random.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why randomly, after recording all day, is my laptop now getting really loud? I don't know. The sun went down. I don't know. But those are the bizarre news stories. Do you have any final thoughts?
I like to think that's aliens, but I don't know. I wish it was more concrete. Like, I wish we can get, like, the golden signal, but from aliens.
Yeah. It would be crazy. Like, what if we got one and it was from, like... It, like, circled the universe. Like, it was, like, humans from either the past or the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to us, and it was, like, the one thing we need to tell you is, and then you get to, like, like, sorry, this call has been disconnected.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, like, you know, when you're on dial-up, and it's just, like, I was telling previous humans something, and you had to check your email now? If you could send a radio signal out now,
yeah,
and you knew, based on math, and yeah, science, that it was going to hit Earth in, like, 1911.
1911?
You couldn't pick or choose. It was the only option. If you were going to send it back, and it was going to hit Earth in 1911, what would you say?
Don't let Hitler invade Poland.
They're like, that's like, you know, they have to wait 20 years for that premonition to come true, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's my
write message. It down. Get a calendar. 2012, y'all be fine.
Alrighty, the second question, which was on July 11th, is if you have a ghost in your home, who are you calling? The Winchesters or the Ghostbusters?
I think Ben just told us about his colonoscopy.
No, I haven't had that, thankfully.
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
That was one of his first stand-up jokes.
It was. To be fair, it killed, so.
Kristen Portal Road Art says, Sam and Dean, just for the eye candy. Hear, hear, sister. M. Sourart says, can I call both? Probably would depend on if it was a ghost, a demon, or something else. Campfire Tales Podcast says, gotta go with the Winchesters. Kelpie7 also says, the Winchesters. Sacktown Movie Buffs Films Fest says, neither. I'm calling the Warrens. I think the Warrens have a suspect.
Yeah.
I don't think they have the best track record.
I don't know if I would call the Warrens.
Plus, Lorraine's not with us anymore.
Neither is Ed. Yeah.
So
you gotta call their son-in-law?
It's gonna be, yeah, he's gonna be like, how much are you paying?
Yeah, exactly.
But they don't get shit done, do they?
Well,
because the idea is that they used to. In like because
it wasn't the Annabelle?
Like, yeah.
They just took it, but
they just took it.
Didn't that family still have problems, I thought?
No. Annabelle was taken. Did you not listen to episode?
And I forget
it. I was just playing, man. No, they took
You did
them.
That one, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I skip yours.
It's weird. I listen every other week.
Yeah. But no, they took Annabelle. It was fine. Well, there's accidents on the way, but the family was fine.
Yeah, I say, wasn't there like three guys that got into like car accidents
yeah,
and died?
Yeah.
Doesn't really sound like solving the problem.
But they took it away from the family.
Yeah. Semantics. The
well,
life.
Not that I'm not a Warren defender, but at least they're real. The other two options are fake.
I would still That's call true. Sam and Dean in a minute.
Although, unless you're talking, Jensen Ackles is not going to answer.
Yeah,
he's already not answering my pleas for him to be an interview guest, but.
But I think if we look at it from like the cinematic universe, those aren't real either, you know.
In the but see, the Warrens are the only two in both universes.
That's true.
That is true.
And I would definitely call Patrick Wilson. I like Patrick Wilson.
What do you like, Patrick Wilson?
I can't remember the.
Is it the dad?
I can't. I don't know. No,
is that
no,
Ed,
no, it's Ed. Okay. I don't remember Lauren's actress. I don't know her name.
It's Vera Farmiga.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Isn't she someone's sister?
What?
You know what? I'm gonna write a ticket for myself. And yes, let's get back on track.
All right. The Life and Times of Tara says Sam and Dean. Supermama 0812 says Sam and Dean. Hey Felicia, says Sam and Dean. Obvi. Nerd Chapel goes, well, it's probably just the Force spirits of some Jedi, so nothing to worry about. Sparhawk, he sounds like a good-looking guy, says Winchester's all the way.
Oh, yeah.
Man, Carrot's a lot.
Is that the first time you've answered?
No.
Okay. No, it's not.
Okay.
Oh, you remember?
I do remember, yeah. Because you always got to put, like, oh, he's
yeah, I do.
He's got a big, big head.
Carrot's Alive says, well, Sam and Dean take care of more than just Ghost. So... The Anime Undertaker says, the Winchesters, I trust them more. Sorry, LOL. Lucy M14 says, my big sister. Evil Adore says, who are the Winchesters?
I don't think her sister was in the conversation.
No, she's just making things up. Annika Lou says, always Ghostbusters. Official Martin's Train says, probably Sam and Dean. They wouldn't cause so much property damage.
So, what it seems like to me, and I could be wrong here, is it's leaning Sam and Dean, and I don't have any skin in the game. I could care less either way. I think that is a testament to the age of our audience.
That's... Dude, I am 42, and I went with Sam and Dean.
There's always going to be outliers.
Yeah, good-looking outliers who are right.
Well, okay, so I would go...
I think... Isn't that a good hypothesis, though?
It is. Okay. I think it is.
Go ahead with your...
But I think I would go Ghostbusters because they don't have guns... And that scares me. And also, yeah, they don't have guns. And also,
you mean Sam and Dean don't have guns?
Sam and Dean have guns. They have a lot of guns.
Oh, okay.
They have many weapons. And the Ghostbusters just have their lasers.
So wait a minute. I don't like guns, but I'll take a nuclear beam coming out. How is that any safer?
I guess that's fair. I forgot it was nuclear, to be honest. I thought it was just a laser. I don't know.
It's a laser. They have laser pointers on their fingers. Jazz fingers. Go away, ghosts.
Nobody looked directly at them.
I wouldn't want to risk the Winchesters having one of their marital spats.
Oh, man. That's dinner and a movie. They're taking care of ghosts and you get entertainment.
They always just fight so much.
Sam!
I wouldn't mind meeting Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Oh, I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Dude, they might be... Like, the best-looking trio, like, on TV. Because you got Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And the mom is no slouch. Mary Winchester was no slouch either.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Sam and Dean.
Mm-hmm.
That's her Instagram bio. Ain't no slouch here. I would call Charlie still. I would still call Charlie.
Oh, thanks, man. Sure. I don't know if I would help.
But if I had to pick, I guess I'd pick Sam and Dean. Because I like what Sam from Gilmore Girls. And I'd like to meet Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
What was the set of Gilmore Girls like?
What was Stars Hollow like? Was Kirk really that strange?
Is Lauren Graham really that fast of a talker?
Yeah.
I know. It's because they're always on coffee.
Luke seems grumpy.
Yeah. Does he always wear his hat backwards?
He does. That's his thing.
Does he wear a hairnet? I don't think that's OSHA.
So you answered already in the question.
The Winchesters. But I do love the Ghostbusters, and I do love Ghostbusters Afterlife, which was a very good movie.
I've not seen that.
Oh, it's so good.
When Joey was born, and the only thing I could do was sit on my couch and hold him and watch movies, I watched the girls' Ghostbusters.
That was a good one, too.
Oh, I like that one.
It was okay.
Yeah,
I saw it in theaters.
Yeah, I thought it got unfairly panned. I thought it was very good.
Well, it got hate before it even came out.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that Vine about the... there's a Vine about the girls' Ghostbusters.
Woo, 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 woo. On March 14th was, have you ever been alone in a room and heard your name called?
No.
Lotus Flowers says yes.
Ah.
Lucy M14 also says yes. J. Klein 0395 says, yes, don't remind me. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Ha ha. Prismatic Tarot says yes, a lot while ghost hunting.
I've
creepy.
I've heard that.
But eventually, I just got used to hearing weird things. So, like, when you ghost hunt, like, they call out to you? Have you guys ever? I know you guys have done it.
No, I've never had my name called. Like, one of the only VPs that I've heard from her was her name getting called. She put it on her Instagram story.
That would be unsettling.
No, because then it's like, it's not just like two unknowns, you know what I mean? It's like when a spirit or a ghost or whatever says your name, it knows you, did its research, Googled you, took your phone number, put it in the Facebook search.
Do you think, maybe this would be another question, but do you think if you do that, if you hear that while you're ghost hunting, you got to do like some kind of, like, sage yourself before you leave the land?
Do the hokey
pokey. I have to change my pants.
I don't know. I would assume, I've always trusted Charlie's thing where it's like, you're not allowed to follow us, you got to stay here. You dumb piece of shit. He doesn't say that.
It's implied.
Yeah. It's simple.
We do a handshake.
No, but your rosary broke, dude. That was creepy.
It was creepy.
That is creepy.
Yeah.
Baby Moon says, OMG, I have experienced something like this, but I was downstairs and I heard my name being called twice from upstairs in my mom's voice. She was asleep, though. Very weird. Walked into a room annoyed, thinking she called me up for water or something from downstairs.
You shook your head. Do you not think that's weird?
Maybe she talked in her sleep. I don't know.
Nah, that's fair.
Good point. The Chavez 88 says, definitely a normal voice, but yeah, had the demons call me.
What? I don't know. Demons got me on speed dial.
Yeah, they got me.
Hey, what up, bro?
Apparently, this is a very common thing.
Yeah. Christial Badge says, I have. I was working nights at a grocery store. Everyone else was up front, and I was in the produce cooler. Completely alone. I heard my name and reflexively I replied. Then I was like, wait, that doesn't sound like the boss. And I went back up front and asked, and no one had called for me.
It was over the loudspeaker. It was like, what was her name?
Christial Badge.
In produce. She's like, what?
Are the melons ripe?
They're like laughing when she's like, was that you guys? They're like, no. That's... I wonder if she had any other experiences there at the grocery store, though.
A grocery store is not something you think of as being haunted.
Yeah. There, it's haunted right between the Pop-Tarts and the fruit roll-ups.
The grocery store by me is probably haunted by all the dead pets next to it.
What?
Okay, so in Garfield Heights, there's that mall, right?
What mall?
It's called... Am I f***ing boring you?
A little bit. Now you know what it feels like.
This is City View Mall. He's
like, oh, this story must be real because it's boring.
It was built on a
Indian
dump.
Burial ground. Okay. I'm sorry.
So let me get through the thing. It's not long. It was built on a dump.
It's not good either. Oh, my God. No, sorry. I'm listening.
There was a PetSmart next to the grocery store. Methane was seeping through the floor and killing all the pets.
What?
That's terrible.
Yeah. And it happened like twice. The whole store was wiped out like two times.
What?
Yeah, and the grocery store is still open.
Dude, that's terrible. Garfield Heights and Odie.
Yeah.
Killing pets.
You can look that up. It's true.
No, I believe it, man. That sucks, though.
Little Ghost says, I heard it called twice when I was home alone with a 5 to 10 second gap in between. I even went to check the front door and windows because the second time it sounded closer than the first.
Doing the interview with her, I totally believe that.
Me too.
The way she talked about it.
P. Hammerberg says, I've been alone in the house and heard my name called when I was younger. It was a female voice and it was a soft beckon from elsewhere in the house. Like that. It also happened when my folks were home and I recall asking my mother what she needed. The voice, Peter. Me, what, Ma? Mom, what? Me, you called my name, Mom. No, I didn't. This was odd, but then it started happening more and more when I was alone. There's a type O negative cover of Black Sabbath's Nativity in Black that has a woman calling out to Peter, the singer. And the first time I heard it, I thought it was happening again.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Peter.
Kyle the Balloon Guy says, it still happens no matter where I live. Happened a lot more often when I was younger, but every few months I'll hear a woman calling my name from across the house still.
Kyle the Balloon Guy.
Make it a giraffe.
Oh, I think it said balloon, like blooming flowers.
No, balloon.
Oh.
Katie Ginger says, no, but a few days ago at about 6 a.m. when I was still laying in bed, I could have sworn I heard someone yelling at me to get up. When I actually got up an hour later, no one else in the house was awake. I don't know if I was dreaming or if something wanted me out of bed, but it was scary.
So this one for me is a no. Charlie, no?
No.
Ben, has anybody called your name?
No.
We are boring and unwanted.
I'm not going to go ahead and tempt that, but...
No, I do. I would prefer to live my life without having my name called.
No.
Yeah. That's personal.
All right.
Tyler Perry, your move.
movie sucked.
Hallelujah.
Like, how'd you see A Note for Emily?